Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind.
Hey, what's going on? It's your man, Casanova Williams, with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. I'm going to start a little different. This month is officially Men's Mental Health Month. I know, that's big. Now, I know in the past I have not celebrated this month. If you look at any past podcast that I can remember when it came to June, I never really celebrated it. I think last year I didn't even do a podcast on it. And don't get me wrong, people have checked me about it. Like, damn, Cass, how you doing Black Men's Mental Health? Then on Men's Mental Health Month, you don't do anything, or you don't celebrate, you don't do whatever. And let me explain why. Because people, it doesn't really matter to most people. It's one of those, put the illusion over your eyes of people that care. Because at the end of the day, men's mental health doesn't matter in general, and Black men's mental health matters even less. So I'm not going to, you know me, guys, I'm not going to capitalize on things. I'm not going to sit there and act as if, oh yeah, I need to talk about because it's muffin and all that. You know me, I don't cloud chase. So at the end of the day, I chose not to really participate because I didn't see it as a necessity for me to do that. But with this month, I said, you know what? Actually participate this month in it. And not because I'm trying to clout chase, because I have had experiences that I think that men need to be held accountable for. One of my hobbies that I do is, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I go to the bathroom, I do my morning poop. Yeah, I think everybody does that. I wake up a little earlier than the family. And I sit there and I go through my phone. It's like the equivalent of like opening a magazine or opening a newspaper. So I sit there and I go through, you know, timelines. You know, I scroll, I see the latest news. And now I know people are going to be mad at me for this. They're going to say, Cass, this is Men's Mental Health Month. Don't be getting on the men. This is our month to shine and talk about the problems. And there are problems we got to talk about. Now, I've had experiences. Well, let me start. What I've seen is accountability for men, where we're out here crying about things being done to us and not taking accountability for what we do to contribute. One thing I've always said about the Black community is that we can sit and cry all day about the government, the white man, the system, systematic racism, zoning, all this other stuff. We could absolutely complain about that. But the first thing we got to do is clean up our own house. And I think it's the same thing with Black men. Now, don't get me wrong. I acknowledge probably more than anybody the issues and the problems that we have as Black men in this country. I acknowledge the problems we have and the discrimination we face and the unfair treatment. I acknowledge that 100%. But I also acknowledge about our responsibility as men and what we need to do. If you picked up my book, you know, Men Are Meant to Be Broken, I speak about accountability for men. Because even though we cry about Black women not having accountability for what they do, which is 100% correct, we also need to look at Black men and ourselves and hold us accountable for what we do. We can't cry when they have a stigma of us and then we cry about how they treat us according to that stigma. Now, recently in the news, there was a kid, a 14-year-old kid that was shot and killed at an Asian grocery store. And they acquitted the man for doing it. Unfortunately, the kid went in there, put bottles in his pocket, but put them back. I guess they didn't see it. They had a little confrontation about it. The kid walked out the store. He ran. They chased him down. They shot him. And you know what I'm saying? They tried to get him for murder. Now, we could sit here and talk about the unfair treatment of black people. We could talk about the unfair treatment in law enforcement. We could talk about the unfair treatment of that young boy getting gunned down when he's supposed to. But there was something that really bothered me, right? The gentleman said when they chased him down, he thought he saw the kid pull out a gun, pointing at his son, so he shot. Now, whether you want to say that's true or not, I don't, that's not the point. But it was found out that this kid did have a gun. He had an automatic semi-pistol on him. Now, the problem with black people is that we look at the wrong things. You know, now, was it an injustice that this kid got shot? I think so. So I'm not negating the sadness of this 14-year-old kid getting shot down for some water bottles. So don't get me wrong. I think it was pointless for them to chase this boy down. You know, they could have stayed in the store, let the boy run. We're talking about $1, $2 water bottle. You know what I mean? We're not talking about, you know, he was still stealing $1,000 worth of jewelry or something. $2, let's chase him down. You know, ridiculous. Makes no sense. And that's another issue with the Asian community and us. But that's another story. But nobody wants to ask why this 14-year-old kid had a gun on him. You know, they portrayed him as this good, innocent boy that, you know, got gunned down for no reason. And, you know, but why did he have a gun on him at 14? See, accountability is understanding that regardless of the situation, right, you could be wronged. But if you put yourself in a bad compromised situation where they're going to look at you wrong, then it negates all that innocent talk. Because now, because he had that gun, they said self-defense, that he drew it. Like the thing is, I was taught never to give people a reason to look at you bad. Make sure your stuff is on point so they don't have a reason to treat you a certain way. Because at the end of the day, there's no reason why that boy had a gun on him. Like nobody's answering that question in the black community. The parents are crying. Oh, my son, you know, he was innocent and blah, blah, blah. But why did that 14-year-old boy have a gun? Now you put everybody in a situation where, you know, and I guarantee that the jury found him not guilty because that boy had a gun, and they couldn't understand why a boy that is innocent and he's good will have a gun on him. See, that's the thought pattern. Like, okay, he's a good boy, right? And he went into the store and he looked like he was stealing, but he decided not to. He left. He ran. And then instead of, okay, well, he was a young boy, he was scared, I get it. But then he had a gun on him. Now, the guy's story was that he held a gun, he pointed a gun, something about a gun. And then they found the gun on the kid. Now, there were some witnesses that said they didn't see a gun or whatever. And, you know, like I said, I'm not here to detail this case because my podcast is not about that. But I'm talking about the black community, black men, and our accountability for what we do. Because at the end of the day, I guarantee that nobody's discussing why this 14-year-old kid had a gun. Nobody's talking about that. That's not the problem. Oh, the Asian guy killed him. Why? Oh my God, unjust black people. But why does this 14-year-old boy have a gun? Which opens up speculation of what happened. Because now they could say self-defense. The boy had a gun. I recently had a situation myself where, and you know, I've always talked about Sif Man in my book, Men Are Meant to Be Broken. I talk about one of the biggest threats to the black men, the black community, black men, is Sif Men. Men that get a woman or do anything for a woman and do illogical things. I recently myself had a situation where, and I'm not getting into details or nothing like that, you know what I'm saying? Because it's cool, but I'm going to speak about it, where a gentleman was upset with me about stuff that, about his situation with his wife, and we were just friends. There was nothing going on. There was nothing that was talked about. There was nothing said. I mean, there was nothing that was even remotely to seem as if there was something going on between us. You know, my wife is good. You know, we were good friends with this. Everything was cool. No problem. No issue. But he felt some type of way about me. I don't know if the wife talked about me. I don't know if every time something came up, she would compare. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? But he was talking about. Now, I'm not going to say details because, like I said, at the end of the day, I don't do that. But it's just an example of the sip man, a man that does anything for his woman and makes bad mistakes because he wants the attention of that woman. Now, I get it. When you're with somebody and you love somebody, you make dumb choices. I've been there. I think every man has been there. You love a woman so much, you make dumb choices. And I get it. But when you are making dumb choices and standing by it just for the impression of a woman, you know what I'm saying? That is what gives black women this self-confidence, this bad ego about themselves. See, when you're in a relationship as a man, you have to lead. Leading isn't controlling, but leading is holding your woman accountable when she does, when you think she does something wrong. Because at the end of the day, if my wife, my girlfriend, if I saw them doing something that I felt was inappropriate, I'm checking her. I'm not checking the dude. I'm not, because at the end of the day, he has no loyalty to me. He has no nothing to me, but my wife does. So I need to talk to my wife about it. See, that's the angle. See, the simp man, the man that you know, wants to be with his wife, impress his wife, his girlfriend, you know what I'm saying, or just a girl in general, is going to approach the dude. It's like a woman that a man cheats and she's running after the woman. That makes no sense. You know what I'm saying? My situation was nothing like that. Like, literally, it was no cheating, no nothing. Like, literally, nothing. But is the equivalent of when a man is with a woman and he cheats, you know what I'm saying? She's trying to fight the woman. And the woman got nothing to do with it. Shoot, half of the time, they don't even know these dudes are married. But they want to fight or argue and stuff like that. You know? It was told to me, out of respect, I should have talked to him. And I'm like, talked about what? I don't know the guy. I don't, you know what I'm saying? You just with my friend. That's it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know you. I don't. You know what I'm saying? There's no connection. Why I need to talk to you? You know what I'm saying? You know, so we have to understand as men that we have to take accountability for our actions. We have to understand that regardless of the world being against us, that we still have to have some type of standards, some type of principle. Now, I know you're saying, Cash, man, this is Black Men's Mental Health Month. What that got to do? What about men have real mental health issues, stuff like that? But see, the problem is that even with our mental health issues, we have to understand the reality. We could address it all day long, but nobody cares. Let's be honest. That's why I don't believe in the month. You know, I don't believe in February being Black History Month because you give my history 1 month. And they try to fight that. So Men's Mental Health Month, at the end of the day, they don't care about Black men's mental health because they're not addressing none of that stuff. And so we have to take accountability for ourselves. We have to act accordingly. We have to move accordingly. We have to move in a way where we're protecting ourselves, building ourselves as Black men. Like, I'm never going to hate on another Black man. Never. But I'm going to hold them accountable. Like I'm gonna hold our people accountable. Like I hold the parents accountable for that young man that got shot. Because at the end of the day, why did he have a gun? Nobody's talking about the real problems in our community. Some racist stuff happens to us, and that's the issue. That's what we argue about. Oh my God, they did this to my son, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, why did your son have a gun? Like literally, why? That's like the father that killed the cop because a cop killed his son. Even though his son was in a stolen car and had a gun and was escaping and running and pointed it. But then the father goes around and he kills some random cop. But we're sitting here talking about, you know what the narrative was? Oh, yeah, eye for eye. Yeah, he did his thing. Racist cop. All this, not talking about why his son in a stolen car. Camilla Anthony killed the white kid, young black man, killed a classmate. We don't even know the story. They said that he was bullied before. They said they didn't even know each other. His brother said, we don't even know this kid, all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? But like at the end of the day, why did he have a knife? Nobody else had a gun. Bullies don't have guns. And I get it. Nobody wants to be bullied. I was bullied when I was younger. I get it. But at the end of the day, it's excessive. Why did he have a knife on him? We don't ask the questions that we're supposed to ask. And then we're not taking accountability. We play the victim all the time. Because see, the thing is, you are the victim, but that doesn't mean that every part of your life you're being victimized. And I think that's the problem with black men. We understand that we're victims on many situations, but then we start to apply it everywhere. And then mothers, black women, don't hold us accountable. Well, we need to hold ourselves accountable, but in general, they hold us accountable for these other things, but they don't hold us accountable for the things they should when those things reflect them directly. Like why your son has a knife, that reflects the parents, that reflects the mother. Why your son had a gun on him at 14? But we don't address those things. We don't address the real issues with black men. And we don't hold ourselves accountable at all. We do dumb things. And then we justify it in the name of I'm a man, blah, blah, blah. But it's stupid. People were very surprised when in my book I said that. You know, I said corporate America, all this, but I said simp men, especially black simp men, they're our biggest threats. And people are like, how could you do that? Because it's the truth. These are the men that go around allowing for women not to be held accountable for it and let a woman do whatever they can just to get that attention. We as black men have to stop doing that. Unless, you know what, let me get off the simp man thing. Because, you know, some people may be sensitive about that. Like, oh, Cass, you're talking nonsense. All right. But as black men, we need to hold ourselves accountable. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'll be the first to talk about woman's body, woman's choice. It's her responsibility for a child. But at the end of the day, why are we banging these women? Like some of these women I look at that have babies, I'm like, why, man? I get it. I like coochie. I get it. Pussy's great. Sex is great. I get it. But you look at some of these women, it's like, are you serious? Like, just like I always tell a woman, you know, hey, you don't have to have babies. There's a lot of things, but men is the same thing. You have a choice. You could wear a condom. You could, you know what I'm saying? You could wear a condom. You could do the pull-out method, even though that's not 100% going to be wrong, but at least you're doing something. Or you could just not have sex with her. And don't worry, I understand the argument, sex is natural for a man, we have needs. I get it. I completely understand it. But at the end of the day,
we could still say no.
Now, I've gotten on women for their part. You know I have. But men, we need to stop pregnating these women. There's no reason why we're getting these women pregnant. Because they don't have the capacity to even take accountability for it. Let's be honest. There are species of women. There are species that don't even take accountability for their own sex. They blame you for that. You didn't rape them, but because of you, you got them pregnant. They did nothing wrong. So if you know this is what you're dealing with, why put yourself at that risk? And why make these women that don't deserve to be mothers, mothers? If you meet a woman, she already got three baby daddies. My nigga, you shouldn't be the fourth. If you meet a woman in a club and she letting you hit, that ain't baby mom. That ain't baby mama potential. Now, let's get on mental health. Let's get directly on mental health. Since this is mental health month, men's mental health month, let's get directly on mental health. Men, you need to go to the doctor. You need to be able to diagnose your trauma. You need to go to therapy. Go to a doctor, not a Dr. Cheyenne, not a life coach, none of that fake shit. Go to a real doctor and talk about your trauma. Now, I know as a man it's hard because the world tells you you shouldn't show emotions, but you need to address it yourself because nobody else is going to address it. The first thing I've said in my podcast, one of the first episodes I've ever had, I said mental health, black men's mental health to the outside looking is traits. It's not mental health, it's traits. You know I say we hold accountability for sex, but I understand where it comes from. Most of us had sexual experience at a young age where we didn't understand what sex was. So that messes up our relationship and understanding of sex because we don't really know what it is. The responsibility of sex. A lot of young men, their first experience is an older woman. Now, if it was reversed and it was a younger girl and an older man, oh my God, it would be outrage. But when it's the other way around, people are, oh yeah, do your thing. But that messes up a man's psyche. We're hypersexual. It's bad enough that naturally a man has, naturally a man yearns for sex. Naturally, you know, I was talking to somebody, a woman. She was like, well, you know, men could control themselves. I don't know why men want sex and it's a problem. I was like, well, I get what you're saying. We do have self-control. We should have better self-control. But there's a difference between men's sex drive and a woman's sex drive. A woman's sex drive is backed by the fact that she wants a baby. That's why all these women allow these men to impregnate them, because naturally they want a baby. It's not about the actual feel of sex. It's about them having a baby. Because how many women, let's be real, men, you've been with that allow you to hit it raw and wouldn't even care if you came with them? They don't care. And they not, you know what I'm saying? They do whatever. And you don't even know them. Because a woman has a natural need to have a baby. So that's why she have a baby with the bummest nigga, because that's naturally in her. But that's another discussion. But for men, I was like, let me ask you a question. Does a woman wake up having an orgasm just off the bat without any type of stimulation or anything like that? Just has an orgasm. Or it just wakes up really, really horny. No, that doesn't happen for a woman. She's like, well, you know, some of that bullshit. No, that doesn't happen for a woman. A man, you know, they call the wet dreams, a young man's ejaculating. That's not something we plan. It's not something we do. That is natural. The body naturally for a man has to ejaculate. It's part of nature. We are meant to breed. It is human instinct for a man to breed. Just like it's a human instinct for a woman to have a child. So recklessness happens on both ends because we don't understand nature. A man's sex desire sexually is embedded in them. They could be the best guy in the world, the nicest guy, but they are embedded to have sex. It is natural. A woman, it is embedded in her DNA to have a child. So unfortunately, in our society, we're reckless because we don't, and what we did to counter that was marriage and things like that. So when we had kids, men could have sex, women could have kids, you know what I'm saying? But because we have a society that's so free now that they broke all the rules, we ignore biology. You have reckless men out here having sex with a lot of women to fulfill that need. Then you have women out here having babies by any man to fulfill that need. So then you create broken homes, broken kids, broken situations, and the cycle continues. Because we're fighting our natural needs. It was structured in a way where we could have our natural needs fulfilled. Women could have their babies, men could have sex, and everybody's satisfied. Everybody's natural needs are fulfilled. Because think about it, these women are really having babies by bum dudes. Every time I see a woman that is sitting here talking about my baby daddy, she could be an independent woman, she could be a boss, whatnot, but she talk about her baby daddy, he's always a bum, some bum dude. And I always say, why would you let this man ejaculate in you? Why would you say I could have a baby by this man? You could select better and you selected that. Now you complain that he's a bum. Now you complain that, oh, my baby daddy ain't shit. Like shit. Stevie Wonder could have told you that nigga wasn't shit. Ray Charles could have told you that nigga wasn't shit. But you chose him. You let him ejaculate and you had his baby. Reckless on both ends. Men meet these girls in the club and start knocking them up raw and shooting the club up. And now they mad because they got baby mama drama, or they meet a girl that had a baby before, she on welfare or she on some ghetto shit, or you meet a girl that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and then you say, oh, this is going to be my baby mama. So there's recklessness on both sides, but because this is men's mental health month, I'll focus on that. So at the end of the day, we have to go seek therapy because we have a lot of problems, anxiety, PTSD. I mean, at the end of the day, if you live in the hood for 18 years and you see nothing but violent crackheads, drug use, you know what I'm saying, shootings, all that. People go to freaking war for a few months and come home and they fucked up for the rest of their life. So imagine being in 18 years in an environment. And trust me, black men, you don't even notice the trauma. Like, I think I spoke this story before. I was talking to my son about how I was raised. I was bragging about, you know, hard knock life. You know what I'm saying? Being real, keeping it real, and violence in the community and what I went through and gains and all that. I was talking, you know, I was bragging because when you're from New York, it's a badge of honor. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm a real New Yorker. I'm not, you know, somebody that's from the suburbs and stuff. I was raised in the projects on welfare. My mom's house, she was 16. My dad wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? I was in gangs. I was running with people. I did a lot of things. Now, I'm gonna be honest. I wasn't the gangster's kid out there. I wasn't like robbing niggas all day long and shooting and all that stuff. So I ain't trying to put that out there. I wasn't on that tip. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a New Yorker. I got into my fair share of fights, you know, situations, got guns pulled on me, got robbed, did rob. I mean, I've done a lot, you know what I'm saying? So, but like I said, I wasn't the gangster kid out there. I wasn't the kid out there that, you know, I came on my block, they looked at me and they ran. Nah. I wasn't that dude at all. Now, did I roll with niggas like that? Did some of my friends like that? Yeah. But me personally, I wasn't like that. I'm gonna be real. You know what I'm saying? I survived, you know what I mean? But I did things I'm not proud of, things that I'm not, you know, so like, I did things. But see, isn't it part of growing up in New York? So I'm telling my son these things and I'm like, yo, son, I did this. This happened. You know what I'm saying? Like bragging, like, you know, it was a badge, you know, because in New York, that's a badge of honor when you just survive gang wars or you survive certain situations or shit popped off and whatever, you know, it's a badge of honor in New York. You know what I'm saying? So I'm telling my son this, bragging to him, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, yo, you got to keep it real, son. I kept it real. So your dad went through the war, blah, 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 blah. And he looked at me, he said, Dad, that's real tragic. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, seriously, he's like, if everything you say is true. He was like, Dad, that's not cool. That's tragic. That's like trauma. That's traumatic. And I looked at him, and at first I wanted to go off like, nah, no, nigga, you don't know, keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to go off. But then I sat with it for a second, and I said, wow. If somebody told me about their life from the outside, I didn't know them, and they told me that story, how would I view it? And when I started thinking about everything, sexual experiences with women when I was young, and gang wars and situations, and I said to myself, wow, that is tragic. Like, I run around here using it as a badge, as it's like it's some like rite of passage. But in reality, it's tragic. You know, I used to look at my son and say, there's certain things he don't have that I have, street smarts and all this other stuff. And I used to be mad, like, damn, he doesn't have that. Because, you know, I was raised this way and it's helped me in my life. But to be honest, it's tragic, traumatic experiences that I've developed PTSD, anxiety, depression, hypersexuality, all these things that I have had in my life, my mental illness, the things I did. Now, I know if you've been following me, you know in the beginning, I had my mental breakdown, went to the facility for 2 days and was diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and sleep deprivation. But my anxiety and depression goes far beyond that. It goes back further. When I look at my life, and I look at things I've done, emotional instability at certain times, emotional damage, mental issues, anxiety, depression. I mean, shoot, maybe a little bipolar. I don't know. I wasn't diagnosed, but I'm just saying. This stuff happened from me growing up. Situations I was in, from my mom to my family to, you know what I'm saying, the streets, being out with my friends, situation, tragic things I've seen, people getting shot, people getting cut. I mean, all these things build up. And see, the problem with black men is that these things happen. Unless they're just flat out, just obvious, where like you're schizophrenic on a train stabbing people and going crazy. And then like, yeah, he is schizo. But even then for black men, they're going to say he's just a violent criminal. Then they talk about the mental health. Other races, they're going to say, oh, man, look at the schizophrenic guy, you know? Oh, man. But with us, they're going to say, oh, he's a violent person that has schizophrenia. See, that's the narrative for black men. You know, I suffer from mental health. I've been diagnosed with mental health problems. Now, I've been fortunate enough to be able to handle it, to maintain it, to control it without medication. I was on medication for a while, and I don't recommend this to anybody, but I stopped cold turkey because I took control of my mental. Now, I'm not saying that's easy for everybody. So I am not saying I should be the bar, the measuring bar. Not at all. Not at all. Because they say it's not healthy to do that. You got to weed off the stuff. And I 100% agree. So what's right for me is not right for you. But for me, I woke up one day. I said, enough is enough. And I just stopped taking it. Cold turkey. I literally just said, I'm done. And I was on two forms of medication. One for the depression, one for the anxiety. It was pretty strong doses. And I stopped it cold turkey. I think it was about four years ago, I stopped cold turkey. About 4 years ago. But like I said, I don't recommend it to anybody. Work with whoever, your therapist, about that. If you're like, hey, I'm done. You know what I'm saying? But I made the decision. And the reason I'm saying that is because as black men, we have to make the decision. We need to make the decision to address our mental health. See, it's like being a drug person, right? Being a drug addict, right? At the end of the day, you have 45 interventions, right? But it doesn't mean nothing until the drug person using the drug decides they want to stop. Intervention is trying to help you to see that you want to stop, but it has to be something inside you to say, I want to stop.
Now, mental health is not as easy because it is a mental health and depending on the severity of it. But the thing is, you can go and find out what's going on. If you're running around here and you having problems, anger issues, oversexed, depressed, anxiety, you have all these things, you have the mental capacity to say, hey, let me go to a therapist. Let me address these issues. Now, it could be therapy that can help you. It could be medication. No matter what it is, you have to assess what's good for you. But at the end of the day, you have to make that choice as a Black man, because the society is not going to come help you. Because you can have a mental health breakdown, do something stupid, they will put you in jail before they put you into a psych ward to help you out. Insanity, you know what I'm saying? Defensive insanity is not really looked upon really well when it comes to Black men. We don't get that grace. So we have to address it before it gets to that problem. And if right now you're listening to this podcast and you have the mental capacity to sit down and listen to this podcast, or you have the mental capacity to listen to any podcast or anything, then you have the mental capacity to say, let me go see a therapist. Now, I know you're saying, Cass, everybody don't got money like that. Everybody don't got opportunity like that. And you're right, they don't. But there are a lot of free services out there. If you go to my page, blackbizmentalhealth.com, there's services on the bottom. Phone numbers you can call. There are free services out there. Now, for Black men, it's not a lot of services, but they're out there. Because we need to get help. There's so many different mental health issues out there. There really are. And there are some that tragically will ruin your life. You know what I'm saying? But if that's the case, then you should be in a facility. But if you're a functioning, able-bodied person, go get the help. Address your mental health, because nobody's going to address it. There's not going to be any TV saying, if you're a Black man, you have mental health, come call this. No, we don't get that grace. But see, the thing is, you have to live in reality. And I think when I talked about women, women have the luxury, especially Black women, not to live in reality, right? They get to spew statistics that don't even exist, false statistics about who they are, what they're doing, where they're at, and they run with it. And everybody believes it, even though all the stats are against it. But Black men is reversed. We get stereotypes and it's not even true. Black men are deadbeat fathers, but it's been proven that 74% of Black fathers are active in their children's lives. 74%. That is the highest among all racial, other races, all other cultures. Now, marrying rate is one thing, but actual being in your child's life, 74% of fathers. But there's still the narrative that fathers ain't in the home. And that's our fault. Fathers not in the home. It went from trying to clean, from deadbeat dads to, oh, fathers are not in the home. Like, it doesn't, even though we're active. So, you know what I'm saying? So we can't run around with, we can't run around talking about false statistics for us. False narrative is talked about us. So you have to address your mental health on your own, because they're not going to do it. And I know it's a sad situation. And you may feel like there's nothing you can do. But you have to empower yourself. See, and that's the thing I preach. Men are meant to be broken, because as a man in general, life is not meant for you to be fair for you. You have to earn everything, all your success as a man, you have to earn. You can't work at McDonald's and some rich woman come in one day, see you and say, hey, I want to marry you, take care of you. That's not what happens with men. We don't have that luxury. We are born without worth. We have to earn our worth. And one of the things you have to do is make sure your mental is right. You have to make sure that you're capable of achieving for yourself. Because at the end of the day, as a Black man, it's lonely. The more success you get, the more loneliness you get, the more people look at you as a check or opportunity. And that's a mental strain on its own. That's why you got to get your mental health right. You got to get your mind right. Because if you don't get your mind right, then everything in life is going to fuck you up. Don't sit here and get into the narrative that you ain't shit. Don't give into the narrative of anybody, because at the end of the day, you have the power to create your own world. You create the world you want. Don't let nobody tell you anything. Yes, you have a woman you love, a wife you work with them. Don't get me wrong. You work to build, but the build you're building is your world. Now, people have a confusion though. Leader, being a leader and being controlling are two different things. Being a leader is saying, this is my vision. This is where we're going. Let's work together at this. Controlling, saying, bitch, I don't give a fuck what you do. You going to follow me. No, I'm a leader. If you want to follow me, you're going to follow me because you want to. If you don't want to, you don't got to be here. I'm standing on standards. I'm standing on business. I'm standing on the fact this is my vision as a man. If you don't see it for yourself, that's cool. You don't have to be here. I'm giving you the choice. But if you want to be here, this is what I demand. My son, I don't know I should be talking about this, but my son had a situation with a girl. And you know, they were together. He was in love with this girl. And in the beginning, she had a friend. And he didn't establish early in the relationship that he didn't like it. He felt some way about the friend, whatnot. Then later into the relationship, he stated, you know, he tried to force the situation, and she's, you know, and the parents were friends, the guy and the mother, his girlfriend's mother and the guy's mother were friends. And they thought, oh, he's trying to be a little controlling, and it caused them to break up. So my son was sad, and my wife went to him, oh, you know, you can't be controlling like that. You know, I was like, son, let me understand the difference between controlling and being a leader. Your mistake was that you went into a relationship allowing things that you didn't want. Because the thing is, when you meet somebody, whether it's a friendship, a relationship, business partnership, it doesn't matter. You establish what it is. Now, if they don't like it, that's their choice, and you move on. If I meet a woman and I say, I don't like your friends, so for us to be together, you can't be, there is no, it's not controlling. It's saying, well, if that's how you want, I don't want to be with you. Now, women will always argue, and people and simps will always argue, oh, that's unfair. You need to, you know, date her and allow her space and stuff. I don't need to allow any space to, I don't need to be in any space that I don't want to be into. That makes me feel uncomfortable. So I told my son, I was like, don't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that what you want is wrong. What I'm going to tell you is that when you first met her, you should have told her, like, yo, I'm not cool with the friends like that. He likes you, whatever. And if she said, and the thing is about being a man of standards, you have to be not be afraid to lose, because she may say, well, that's my friend. I'm not losing him. And you should say, no problem, sweetie. I wish you luck. I wish you luck on what you do. And that's it. And you keep it moving. Be on your standards. Now, when you are with her, then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, don't be with her. Then yeah, that's controlling. It seems controlling because, like, you didn't establish this. You didn't talk to me about this. Now you're trying to force something that's been going on in a relationship. Now, yeah, then yeah. I was like, but you got to establish it early. See, men, you have to create your own world. What you want, go for. If you want to be a guy that has multiple women, then you need to be real with your woman and say, baby, this is what I want. And if she's like, I'm not with it, then you got to find somebody that is. If you say, I want to move here, if you say, I want these kids, whatever you think you want to build for yourself, you have to get a woman that's on point, friends that are on point, business partners that are on point. And you need to let them know from day one, this is what I want. This is where I'm going. If you're with me on this journey, great. If you're not, that's cool. Do your thing. You have to establish what you want, your boundaries, your status, your standards in the beginning of everything. Control your narrative, control your world. Nobody's going to come and give it to you. Nobody's going to give you the blueprint. Nobody's going to give you what you should do. You need to crave for yourself. So with mental health, nobody's going to come to you and say, I think you have depression, brother. I think you have over sexualized. I think you have depression. They're not going to do that. They're going to tell you that your behaviors is criminal. Your behavior is detrimental to them. Oh my God, you want sex all the time. Oh my God. Now understanding that when you was, 12 years old, your 30-year-old nanny sex, you know what I'm saying, had sex with you and assaulted you. But in I said, oh no, you're just over sex. You just this. Oh, why are you so depressed? You need to be lazy. You need to wake up. You know, when I was going through my depression, my wife is Haitian. And in the Haitian community, depression, mental health doesn't really exist like that. Nobody's talking about that. You're either lazy and you need God. Really, that's pretty much it. So when I was first going through my depression, my wife was looking at me, not understanding. She thought I was just, being lazy. I needed God. I was being irresponsible. All these things she thought, not because my wife didn't love me, because culturally she didn't understand. Then she got to understanding what depression was and all that stuff. And, my wife was 100% supportive, but at first she didn't understand. She saw this strong man that was a leader running companies, doing his thing, break down, get withdrawn, talk about anxiety, all this stuff. And she looked like, okay, he must be going through some midlife crisis. He doesn't want to be in a marriage. He's being irresponsible. He's not serious. It wasn't like I had a real mental health problem, because that doesn't exist in the culture. And it's there in the Black community, particularly for Black men. They're going to tell you that you're doing something bad before they tell you something that you're doing something good or is a mental health. They're going to tell you that you are the problem. You are the criminal. You are the bad person. And it's like, you may say, Cass, I don't even have a mental health problem. Or why do I need to even think about that? If you're listening to this podcast, you have some mental health going on that you need to get addressed. And sometimes it's slight things, but there's things in your past you got to work out. Because mental health isn't something that's also diagnosed. It's something that's trained. It's like abuse. You've been abused as a child sexually. So your sexual idea is different. Mental health isn't something I could look in the book and just only diagnose. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. The DSM-5 is very good for diagnosing things, and there's a shitload in there. And then I'm sure there's something in there that you could find that describes you, right? I'm sure. Don't get me wrong. But in general, mental health comes from a lot of different places. And regardless of the mental health issue you have, there's two things that can help you out: medication and therapy. It's depending on the severity, what it is, things like that. And therapy isn't like sitting down with a string. Therapy is practices you do that you practice to overcome these things. You know, it's like sexual addiction, right? Some people have real bad sexual addiction, right? Some mental health issue, the need for sex, right? They don't give people medications, therapy, is practices, behaviors, things like that, recognizing there's a problem. So there's so many things to help. But the thing is, you got to go to therapy. Black men, you got to go to therapy. You got to get yourself right. Create your own world. I am creating my own world. I love my wife. I've been with my wife for 23 years. We've been married 20 years. Right. I love my wife. She is my everything. I worship that woman. She's gone through it with me through thick and thin. She loves me for me. And I would not replace her for anything. She's my best friend. But even with that said, I know I'm still the man. I'm still the leader. And even though she's my partner in this marriage, we going through this life together. You know what I'm saying? But I still know it's lonely at the top, because everybody looks at me, family, friends, kids, wife, associates, business partners, they look at me. So you have to get used to having that loneliness, not the loneliness where you won't have a good woman or good friends. I'm not saying that, but loneliness when you're the one, you're the visionary, you're moving the ship forward. A captain of a ship is sitting there directing everybody. It's lonely. Just by the nature of being a man and being a leader, it is lonely. Yeah, you got your wife. Let's say you got a supportive wife that loves you, that rocks with you. But it's lonely because you have to make the decisions on how y'all move forward. You're the final say in your kingdom, in your castle. So by that nature, it is lonely. You have to accept that loneliness and understand that, like, I'm building something. I have a vision. And everybody around me is part of that vision. So understand that this is Men's Mental Health Month. And it is great that some light is shed in on men's mental health, but Black men's mental health is overlooked no matter what the month is. And we have to empower ourselves to make those right decisions to create our own world. We have to take the initiative to heal ourselves, to be supportive to each other and heal ourselves. Because at the end of the day, if you want to lead, leading is not pretty. Leading isn't easy. But you have to lead and get your mental right. You have to lead and get your world together. Build your worth. Because it's not going to be given to you. The world is against you. Not because it's personal. It's because we are strong. And when you are strong, people think you could take more. And they don't care. Nobody cares about the physical health of a star athlete. They say he's built for it. He's the greatest. You know what I'm saying? No, they don't care about none of that stuff. They just see the greatness. But as soon as you fall, they kick you. That's just the truth. See, and once you live in reality, then you could live your truth. Once you accept the reality, then you could really live a good life. I mean, let's be honest. Black men, our Black women are not happy. They don't live in truth. Everything around them is pending on something else. Their confidence, their hair, their body, their clothes, everything is dependent on something else. There's nothing they built with their own hands. Their hands are even fake with fake nails. But you strip that all away, they have nothing. But as a woman has natural worth because she got babies. And men, and you pretty woman, they want you. But their self-worth that they're trying to gain now could be stripped away. What can they build? But as a man, you can build. If everything was stripped away from you, you could still build something. Because that's the nature of a man, especially a Black man. We get through diversity. We get through everything thrown at us. We get through it and we become better. We become stronger. And other people don't like that. Because understand, Black man, you're the most desirable man in the world. You could go anywhere in this world and you will get a woman. Guaranteed. You could go anywhere and the women will love you. Absolutely. We are the most desirable men in the world. We're the most respected men. Not respected as far as like, I'm not criminal. So I'm talking about respected is like, they know Black men have been through so much struggle that they're real men. We are the quintessential of a man. When women think of what a man is, what a real man is, you know what pops in their head? A Black man. Because a woman likes a man that could take shit, take hits and keep going. That could struggle and rock through it and get through it. So within our weaknesses
as far as society, how they see us, there's so much power. So at the end of the day, understand, create your own world. Address your mental health. Get yourself focused on you. Focus on your mental health. Focus on your physical health. Focus on your emotional health. Focus on you, because nobody's going to give it to you. I know there's other podcasts people want to talk about this and blaming and all that shit. And I get it. We could talk about the issues we have. I'm with it. All day I will talk about Black women, our society. I will talk about that. You know I have. I'm more than 250 episodes in. I have addressed that many times. But that does not negate our responsibilities to ourselves. And reality is, you want to live in reality and understand that nobody's going to rescue you. Nobody's going to give you a handout. Nobody's going to just see you one day and say, oh, I want to marry that guy and take care of him. That's not going to happen. Now, has it happened in life? I'm sure it has. Don't get me wrong. There's always exception to the rules, but Black men, one thing you never want to do is live as your exception to the rules, because it will never apply to you. When shit happened like that to us, it's just by the stars aligning and some freak nature shit happened. Like, oh my God. You know, have there been young men that meet an older rich woman and yeah, but don't count on it. I wouldn't bet money on it. So Black men, we have to create our own world. Address your mental health. Go to therapy. Go find out what's going on with you. Get your mental right. Envision the world you want. And go towards it unapologetically. Because at the end of the day, that's what you need to do to be happy in life. All right, guys, I'm going to end on that note. This podcast was a little bit longer. You know what I'm saying? Black men's mental health month. So, you know, I took a little long to really talk. I really appreciate you so much. I really do. You know, I have a lot of things. I got some panels coming up that I'll be speaking on. So I'll put those dates. You know, if you check out my webpage, CassandraWilliams.com, and you can check out BlackMen'sMentalHealth.com. You get the latest updates for that. I got a lot of great things going on, guys. The Culture Radio, you know, my network with 20 plus radio stations on it. We are actually creating a flagship station right now in Orlando for the Culture Radio. So I think it's going to be the Culture Live. It's going to be a fully interactive radio station. We're going to have VJs. We're going to have shows. We're going to have mixes. We're going to have countdowns. It's going to be a full 24-hour radio station, you know. So I'm very excited about that. We're going to do interviews on it. I'm very excited about this. This is a new project that I'm doing. So I'm definitely excited about that. I'll be heading out overseas pretty soon with my management team. You know what I'm saying? For certain things, you know who I manage and what I do. So we got some tours going on. So I'm very excited about that. A couple of critics. We got a lot of things coming up. We are going to be covering a lot. If everything works out, we've been invited to the first show for Usher and Chris Brown to review it at their first show. I'm excited about that. If everything pans out correctly, we got some overseas reviews we're doing. I'm very excited about that project. That's been going really, really well. So I'm very, very excited about that. And I'm going to continue to do Black Men's Mental Health and my other podcast, Everything Podcasting. I'm going to be launching that very hard because I think everybody needs to get into this podcast game. And achieving success, I think that's another thing that we need to talk about in general. And I'm going to be launching that podcast pretty soon. Me and my wife are divorced now. Option, we're bringing that back, so we're working on things right now, working on the material. So as you see, I got a lot of stuff going on, and I'm working on bringing back my all natural care line. That's coming back. We're doing a rebrand of it, a new name, rebranding, new packaging, all that stuff's being worked on right now. My future projects I am working on right now, I am talking to realtors, I'm talking to investors, start the Ivan brand, hotel resort brand that's going to be in with the product line as well, and something exciting new that I was just talking about last night, you know. You know, with the Ivan brand and things like that, doing a wine and cigar lounge. If you know me, I'm into cigars. I do a cigar almost every night. I love to go to the cigar places. So a business idea was brought across my table, and I'm looking into it, you know, combining wine and cigar. You know, it's nothing new, you know, so I'm okay talking about it, but that's something that I'm looking into right now. So there's a lot of business opportunities, a lot of things happening, and I just want to appreciate you. I'm gonna do this podcast, you know, that I'm gonna keep it going because I know y'all want it, so don't worry about that. But I really appreciate y'all. I really appreciate y'all supporting me, supporting everything. You know, like I said, go to CastleWilliams.com, you check me out, download the Culture Radio app. This podcast and others is featured on Pod Journey Radio, so you can catch this out. I think I play my new podcast every Tuesday at 7, something like that. I'm not sure. You have to go and double check. I don't know off the top of my head, but yeah, so definitely download the app, support the Culture Radio Network. We're about to launch our flagship station this summer. I'm so excited with the shows we got lined up. We're bringing back some old shows that were popular. We're going to have some new shows, some VJs. It's going to be great. If you're interested, hit me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hey, we are international, worldwide. So at the end of the day, no matter where you're at, if you want to be part of Culture Radio, you got content, you want to be a VJ, you want to be a DJ, whatever, hit me up. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk, you know, because we're looking for that talent out there, right? All right, guys, until next time.